It's time for the Social Geeks, episode 11, The Overachiever. Sorry for the long hiatus, everybody, but the holidays hit along with some other items, and guess what, though? We're back.
Good evening, everyone. After a long break, we apologize for. It's the Social Geeks, episode 11. Last minute throwing it together, which is all my fault, and I will take the beatings for it itself. But first up, Caleb, you're the big news anyway. So, Caleb, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
Well, I am great, but we won't even go anywhere. We'll start right out with one of the things we were going to talk about, and that's your big site announcement that you just did. Was it yesterday or 2 days
today,
ago?
Today, actually.
Today? Well, do it. Put it out.
As some of you, the listeners, would probably know that I started this site, Tulu, a while ago, and it's all about RSS feeds, and it's pretty geeky, but it's a lot of fun. But recently, I've been working with my buddy Jordan on a new concept, a new site that's aimed at a much broader audience, and the name of the site is kallow.com, and that's K-A-L-L-O-W. And what we're really trying to do is help everyday people buy electronics easier. We continue to get our friends and family sending us emails and sending us text messages and calling us, especially now around the holidays, saying, what TV should I get? What do you think about this digital camera? Is your aunt going to like this new GPS unit? And so we end up giving them all of these recommendations and going through how much it costs, does it have good reviews, does it have the features they're going to need, is it complex, all these different things that we go through in our heads, and then we do checks online to come up with a recommendation that we would give to our friends or family. And we thought, why isn't there a site online that actually just does that? And then you compound that with what's happening with Circuit City and Best Buy and all these big box retailers having a lot of trouble growing. And we think that part of it is because going into those stores is so overwhelming. There's so much choice. There's hundreds of cameras, dozens of MP3 players. And if all you know is that you want an MP3 player that will play the music on your computer, how do you know where to get started? And the staff there don't always know what's going on. And so we thought, well, we really like technology. We like researching gadgets. Why don't we put all that into one place, make it really drop-dead simple, really fast site that we can send our friends to and other geeks can send their friends and family to and feel safe with those recommendations. And so that's what we've done.
Wow. I've been in the site a couple times, and I'm impressed. I mean, you have a theme. You have the Mac theme going, don't you?
Well, we do we do recommend the MacBook as the laptop, and we recommend the iMac as our desktop. And we knew that would be a little bit controversial, but I can say from experience that I used to be a PC person. I used to build my own PCs. I get the motherboards and the graphics cards and the RAM, and that was fun, but I ended up having to reformat my drive every year, every 6 months, as it sort of later on down the road. And I used to think Macs were for people who didn't care about computers, they didn't know about computers. But I eventually got one and really started to like it and appreciate it and was able to tell my parents about it, who were big PC people, and they switched and they really liked it. Got my grandfather, who had been on a little Toshiba notebook, to get an iMac a couple years back, and he can actually manage it very well. He can get onto the internet and his email and log in and not forget passwords and things. But we do think that for people who are looking for new laptops or a new desktop for their family or for their kids, that a Mac is probably a good choice. And even though you might have to relearn a couple of things to get started, within a week or so, you're probably going to be up to speed and have less problems in the long run.
You're covering more. I mean, I don't want to let anybody think. You're covering electronics and audio and home entertainment, and you're going nuts with the categories. Are you going to expand this even more?
We do think that there's the opportunity to expand it more. Like you said, we started with five sort of main categories. So we've got recommendations for a GPS unit, and right now we're recommending the Garmin Nuvi 205W, which is a really nice sort of their latest entry-level GPS. It'll speak the directions to you. It's widescreen. It's got a really fast link up to the GPS satellites now, so it sort of remembers it even if it's in standby mode, so that lag that you used to get is gone. We've got speakers, we've got webcams, things like that, sort of general tech products. We thought, what do we think of when we think of tech products? What sorts of things do we have in our house? What sorts of things are people asking us about? And that's where we started. But we think that if it does work out and we see that it gains some traction and people like the concept, we could definitely see ourselves doing more research on different products and finding places in books, or we could definitely see for college students telling them what the best refrigerator is, or the best microwave, or the best toaster and things like that, so best blenders. So we might venture in there sometime in the future, but we're going to start out small. The website's really simple. The website's fast. Like, the CSS file is only 4 kilobytes right now.
Oh, wow.
So one of the other things we focus on is making the site amazingly fast, because if you go to an Amazon or a Best Buy today, those sites are in the hundreds of kilobytes for the homepage. And that's just, they're just getting so big and bloated because they've got so much going on. We wanted to really strip it down and say, what's the bare minimum you need to know what's happening and to make an informed decision? And so that's where we're starting.
I'm a little partial to the Garmin 4250 for my, Magellan 4250 for my GPS, but that's a whole different conversation.
And the other great thing too about it, Chris, is that obviously we're going to have debates with people, especially people who have done a lot of research on their own or have a particular product that they really love. And that's awesome. We want to do that. We want to be challenged on the products, and we want to make sure that we really are making the best decisions. But the big thing that we think about is not necessarily what the best technologically, what the best product is in terms of all of the features. We're really looking to balance the performance of it, how much does it cost, sort of where in the value range does it fall, and is it going to be something that's easy enough for the most people to use and give them what they're looking for. And
right.
So that's why a lot of the products that we have end up being sort of the entry-level products. The great thing about electronics these days is that the entry-level products end up having so many features anyways, because there's so much competition between all the vendors, that now is such a great time for electronics. I mean, being able to buy a Canon camera with 10 megapixels, 3x zoom, a 3-inch LCD, a really good sensor, for less than $250 is pretty crazy. So
yep.
I think it's a cool time.
Yeah, one of the old power shots. But then the other thing was about the UI. I was impressed. You guys once again made the UI real clean and easy for everybody. So you started, you launched today. So
yep.
Calo is up and running. And then where are you headed with it? Anything else big coming down the pipe with it?
So we're going to be pretty much putting our feet on the pavement virtually and letting all of our friends and family know about it, and really working on getting the awareness up, because unlike a lot of social sites that we use every day and a lot of all of our listeners use, those spread very easily because of the activity streams and because of the way they interact with Twitter and friend feed and all of those. So if a couple people start using them, it's very possible everyone will know about it. But something
sure.
like Calo, it won't spread like that naturally. And so we're going to have to do a lot more work than a lot of other web startups, and even what we had to do with Tulu to get the word out. And so we think we're going to have to put a lot of focus there. Obviously, every day we're going to be reviewing other products that come out. We've set up a ton of Google alerts for all of the different product categories to make sure that we're on top of all the new products that are coming out and seeing if we want to switch anything out. And then we'll be keeping an eye out on the emails we get and seeing what products people want.
Hey, we just have one question. Where did you take the picture? you and Jordan sitting on the About page is all there is. So where did you guys take the picture?
That picture is taken a couple blocks from my apartment here in Miami.
Okay. I was wondering. I saw it and I went, this looks a little bit too nice. I'm wondering where the heck they are. So, okay.
That's down in Miami.
A little too nice. I'm looking out the window at ice and snow flurries, and I see that picture, and I want to disconnect you.
Yeah. It's actually still pretty warm down here, so That's we took that picture maybe last week. So the other thing is we put this site together very quickly. We've been working on the reviews for a while now, but we put the site together in about a week and a half.
Wow.
And so obviously there's other enhancements and tweaks that will be happening all the time, making it faster and tweaking the reviews and all that. So we're in it for the long haul for sure with this. We want it to be a resource that will be around for a long time.
Well, before we hit the news, the other announcement for one of our co-speakers, Wayne Sutton, who is watching the UNC game right now. So when he hears this tomorrow, he can know they better have won for him to miss the podcast, but he's watching the UNC game. He actually launched, finally, after months and months of joking with us, has launched WayneSutton.tv. So,
very cool.
Yeah, it's a very cool. It's just Wayne Sutton, www.WayneSutton.tv. The links are in the show notes, but he's using Mogulus as the camera area. He has a chat room on the side. I'm not sure if he's going to do replays or what he's going to do. And then at the bottom, he has his Twitter feed for Q&A during the live shows. And it's really a nice interface, clean. It's like I'm curious to see what he's going to do with it. Past shows are on there, so I'm going to take a peek at those later. He also went live, and you haven't seen this yet, I bet, and I got to get it out there, with TweetShops, TweetShots.com.
You haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, TweetShots. I'm part of that. I'm one of the people you'll see under the trainer side, but Twitter workshops for everyday tweeple is what it is. I've got Microblink as a sponsor already built into the site itself, but going to be doing tweet shops for people that are learning how to use it for their business and social media and everything else. So we've got Martin Brossman's on there, myself and Wayne, and we've got that up and running and live. As you can see, it's a pretty good layout. So
that's awesome. You're going to be teaching people how to use it effectively and not be spammers and how to interact with people and things like that.
Yeah, and one of the people we have in our chat room actually kind of lives in that world of the other side of what I do, and there's actually a software IBM put together that it's called Pass It Along Learning. I don't know if the URL is public or not, but I'll look. If it is, I'll put it out there, but Pass It Along. And the idea is to teach other people knowledge areas, and I started playing with that, and the idea came with that, and he was building tweet shops, so it all kind of fell together. So yeah, social media strategy, things like that. And I think that's Sarah that just jumped in. Let me unmute. Hold, please. Let me see.
Hey, am I too late?
No, we just started a minute ago. It's Sarah Perez. Yay!
I totally forgot. I was catching up on Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Jeez. Well, I have Caleb on. Wayne is watching the UNC game. And Jeff is running late with the Social Media Club at Kansas City. And once again, we're going to get to Corvita. We haven't seen her blog update since November, nor a tweet, apparently, in over 2 weeks.
She has disappeared off the face of the internet.
She has disappeared once again, which is normal. But she's
got a life.
did you say a life or a wife? What did you just say?
No, a life.
Oh.
Yeah, she's out having fun, being young.
Being in college. So, no, we just announced Caleb's big project. He just launched Calo, and Wayne Sutton's big announcements for Wayne Sutton TV is finally live. Using Mogulus.
Oh, great. I got to check that out.
Well, he also launched Tweet Shops, too.
Oh, what's that?
Tweet Shops is Twitter workshops for everyday tweeple, and I'm part of it on the trainer sheet. It's Martin Brossman, Wayne Sutton, and myself doing basically tweet shops and Twitter workshops on usage and media.
How to use Twitter, best practices, that sort of thing?
You got it.
Is it for business or for marketing purposes or for anyone?
Anyone, both, business and marketing.
Great, so, that sounds cool. Is it
tweetshops.com
or?
Yeah, tweetshops.com for on-site training or one-on-one or branding your profile or I'm going to pass off on the background creation because that's not me, but micro-conversations, workflow, and then, of course, this hooks to everything Twitter because, and yours, I think he has both of these on here because of all the different tools. Yeah, Twitterholic is on there, and what you get is all the tools. So there you go.
Oh, great. Well, it's Twitterholics.net now.
Oh.
I don't know if you still have the .com, but I actually didn't own the .com. It belonged to somebody else who was going to work on it with me and then never did. So when I moved servers, I moved it to the .NET, and I don't know if he'll ever redirect it or whatever. So
Gotcha.
I'm not really keeping it up very well. I put a bunch of stuff in there the other day, but not to the extent of how I used to keep it up. It's just a lot of extra work. I was really just using it as a personal reference for myself because there's so many Twitter apps out there. But then I saw all these people were subscribing. It was funny.
And one of the people in our chat room that you missed, Sarah, the IBM site for Pass It Along, he just put the link. It is public. It's on AlphaWorks of IBM. I'll put it in the show notes. But
yeah,
under service.
Great.
Yeah. All right, I'll put all that in the show notes. So yeah. We were getting onto the news. You came in right at the right moment.
Oh, good.
The first thing is the big one, and not many people have talked about it yet, is the closing of Pounce.
Yeah.
And the sale, so what they do is they join up with Six Apart or get bought or whatever the heck they're doing, and then issue a blog statement right away that says, we want to work with Six Apart, so we're going to close Pounce. And I first read it, and I said, why would they do that if they're not going to, you know, involve Six Apart's technology somehow? And then it came to me that possibly there was never a market for add-on tools for Pounce like there is for Twitter. The user base is much lower. Not saying it was a worse service, but do you think that they gave up in the competition?
Wouldn't you? I mean, who used Pounce? Seriously. Did a lot of people use Pounce? No, they didn't. Not like Twitter. Not like Twitter.
Not to the masses.
CNN's no. Using Twitter. Come on. No, CNN wasn't using Pounce. It did too much. It was trying to be Twitter Plus, and people don't want Twitter Plus. They want Twitter, and they don't need the whole file sharing aspect. I mean, you know, I think it was a great idea, but it didn't find its niche.
Right.
So
well, it had private abilities to send messages and files. So, like you said, Twitter Plus. It was a little more quiet, contained community. The public stream was much lower.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess was that the real techie early adopter geeks, you know, joined in and a few of their friends, and they could never get the user base because if you look at it, something else someone was figuring out is they're offering refunds for Twitter Pro, but the way the refund ratio works, looks like they'll be paying a ton of money out to people that...
Twitter Pro, you mean?
No, Pounce Pro, sorry.
Pounce Pro, yeah, okay.
They're going to pay money back to the Pounce Pro.
Oh, that's how they're going to make money.
No, Pounce Pro. People are paying for the Pro service for
right.
bigger files. Yeah, so they got to give money back to all those people too. So,
well, I mean, let's get real. How do you share large files on the internet?
One of the file drops.
Right.
One of those. What is it? Drop.io or one of those types.
Right.
That's
you know,
it.
I mean, these days you can practically email files. There was a time where you couldn't email, you know, large attachments. Today, you can bundle a whole bunch of attachments and throw them in your Gmail to somebody else's Gmail. And when you're talking about large, large files, you're probably talking about videos that you're trading and, you know, be them, you know, legal videos of you and your kids or illegal videos you torrented. I mean, there's other ways to transfer them from place to place. And if you are talking about illegal videos you torrented, well, whoever you're sending them to can probably go out and torrent them, you know, themselves. Like, the whole notion that we definitely need this tool to help us move files around and Twitter messages, it just doesn't work. They're kind of separate things, in my opinion. I mean, Twitter's for communication and networking and community and all these things, maybe marketing, of course, and advertising, but... it's not necessarily for, you know, for moving large files. They
well,
just don't seem to go together.
Yeah, we'll move to microblogging in general. We'll worry about, and I read the terms everybody knows. Pounce Pro users get a free TypePad account for a year with instructions to export their content and signing up for a Vox or TypePad account. So,
why would they want that? You know, like, again, they don't go together.
it's
not chocolate and peanut butter here, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because I remember so when Pounce first came out, they had all those, everyone wanted to compare it to Twitter right away, and Kevin continued on every opportunity he got to say, no, it's not about that. We built it because we wanted to share files between each other and send little messages. And it sounded like this was something that he kind of wanted for internal use at Dig or whatnot. and then decided let's just make it a little company and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the biggest problem was it wasn't good enough at sharing files with a small group of people to make that work, and so mm-hmm. that piece doesn't scale out very well. And then when you make all these, you make it so much about having private groups and making it about small communication. Just by that setting it up that way, you're going to be limiting it from the mass adoption, because people's expectation is that it's intended for a small group of people. Where when you go into Twitter, the default is that you're talking to everyone, and anyone can find you, and anyone can do anything. And so just the way that you align users to the first experience, Pounce was always going to be a much smaller, going to need lots and lots of mini groups. And so I don't think it could have ever gotten as big. And to your other question, how do you transfer files now? I was saying a while ago that I did think there was an opportunity for moving files around, especially with a small group of people, with coworkers and things. But since Dropbox has become available, I have Dropbox installed on my computer and with other friends in the office and friends that I have who don't live close to me. And that is a fantastic app for trading files, because it's so simple. You've got the folder already on your computer. You just drag it in there, and it's uploading quietly in the background, and then it just pops up on their computer.
Right.
That's what I've always wanted for trading files. And so now having to go back and say, use Pounce to trade files, where you then have to send them the link and upload it in a web browser or their Air app, it's just clumsy. So I think it was probably just a little bit too late, and all the attention they got towards Twitter certainly didn't help them. If they didn't have the messaging, they maybe would have been able to eat by a little bit better. But when I'm looking at their scores, and they've got 181,000 visitors compared to Twitter's 4 million based on Compete, that's a big delta there.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys see then? Where do you see the future of microblogging services overall? Until, you know, Twitter's not monetized, there's all these little corporate startups companies popping up to offer you services inside your own corporation for, you know, Twitter-like services based upon, you know, their own closed standards, use their hosted service or deploy one at your site. But what about the future actually of microblogging itself?
Well, first of all, Twitter, did you guys read Rafe? I think it was Rafe Needleman's post on Webware.
Yep.
About Twitter and their plans for monetization that they're not telling.
Yeah, their secret plan.
It sounds that they do have a plan. They're not telling. So I'm curious to see what that will be. It didn't sound like it's going to be advertising based. So that's good. But there's a lot of different ways they could go. And I think everybody's really curious to see what they're going to do. But if Twitter successfully monetizes, then they could be a viable business. It's definitely popular, and journalists are flocking to it because it seems like this great place to get, like, breaking, unfiltered, raw news, but breaking.
Well, there's news services. What is it, Breaking News On? Isn't that one of the ones? I follow that one all the time. And it's like having my own mini CNN flying through Twitter while I'm sitting there during the day. They're telling about and I think the Virgin Inc. We have someone in our chat room that wanted to talk, I think. I saw a little thing pop up. I'll have to unmute them in a second. But it has, like, earthquake news right away. It has stock news right away. It has when the Mumbai incidents were going on right away. It was like having CNN inside of Twitter itself, but better than CNN.
Right.
So people are trying to create an enterprise around it. And in the chat room we have, is it Virgin Inc. says, look at how the media is eating up microblogging as well. 2 weeks ago, 10TV did a story on Twitter becoming the new MySpace, which is a great point. Is it going to be the new social media, you know, focus of where we're headed?
The new MySpace or the new Facebook?
Well, they say the new MySpace on here, but I think most of us would think Facebook first. So.
Right. Because, I mean, MySpace is for, what did that guy say? The poor? I'm stupid.
The poor and stupid.
Did you read that? That was so funny. That cracked me up. No, I mean, I think MySpace is still going to be around for a long time, but I think that's probably why Facebook wanted to, you know, negotiate something with Twitter. Well, it's hard to say. I mean, Twitter's so different. It's just this tiny little service, you know. It does this one little thing. Everything else that it does is through third-party applications. Facebook is this huge utility of a network that does, you know, everything. So, I don't know. They seem to complement each other and not necessarily replace.
Well, I can say that, remember when Facebook rolled out the 2.0 design a couple months back, one of the major changes for the design was that on your homepage now you had this large message box that was asking you what you were doing. And so that was new. They had a way to update your status, but it was sort of underneath your profile picture before. But now it's front and center. And my friends who are still in school are leaving messages like crazy, updating their status much more than they had ever done before. And the other thing that you can do is you can leave comments on those posts now as well. And I'm seeing a lot of people actually utilizing that comment feature. And so it makes a lot of, I mean, their UI for that is certainly a lot simpler than the at reply that Twitter sort of got wrangled into based on people's usage. So Facebook got the advantage of seeing that people did want to reply to status messages and built it into the UI right from the start. For Twitter to change that now, I think, would be pretty challenging. They could probably still do it. So I think that you're right, that Facebook, their reason for wanting it is that Facebook, the more that they can sort of control and have a purview into your communication with your friends, the better for them. The tough thing for Twitter is that their goal from the beginning with their APIs and everything has been to get people away from the site, to make it available everywhere, and to be just sort of a router of this information, where Facebook and MySpace are destination sites. And if you think of other communication tools like email or chat, who's really making money in those? I don't know how much. I don't think Google is making much money. Well, Google may be making up more money, with Gmail, but chat, not so much. And so a lot of the communication devices end up becoming free over time. So I'm going to be really curious to see what they do and how they try and make money with this. And if it's a really big business or it's just enough to support 30 people.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to watch. Do you have your Twitter going to Facebook right now?
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
I keep finding myself surprised because somebody will reply to my status on Facebook and it was a tweet that I had posted a while ago. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. What I think would be great is if when they replied on Facebook, it would route back to Twitter and I'd get it as an at reply. Like, that would be the perfect, you know, to make that a whole loop instead of just going in, you know, have it coming back out too.
Yeah, for sure.
And so maybe that's what Facebook wanted to do with if they had Twitter, to kind of make that all sync a little better.
Yeah.
Well, and while we're sitting here doing this, Chris Brogren just wrote a blog article that about Twitter needing two channels that I'll put into the show notes. That's a really good, it's too much to go into detail here unless he wants to jump into the call. I sent him a message. But he's talking about Twitter needs two channels, a commons and a platform. So basically creating a two-channel Twitter. So we'll link that for later. Maybe we'll cover that next time. But it's a good overview of how people want, some people want the constant flow of information on the front. He just wrote this, the constant flow of information on the front end and about the at messages and looking for things you're subscribed to, you know, the commons, full feature mode. But other people want it as a way to convey data, right, as a platform. And it's a great little article. It's new up on his blog right now, so I just sent him a note.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, just sent him a note moments ago.
I definitely think watching Twitter develop, grow, hopefully monetize, and not die is really interesting right now.
And not die.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, we're not exactly in the best, you know, economy.
from that meeting that you were talking about. So Evan Williams, the CEO, was the new CEO. He's the founder, but now took over the CEO job from Jack. He was saying that they planned to just grow in all of 2009,
uh-huh.
and then worry about the money in 2010.
Right.
And after what's been happening, they've pushed those plans up an entire year. And so now they're thinking as soon as the first quarter of next year, they're going to be working on making money. And that's a huge strategic shift to say, we're going to push up our plans an entire year.
That
so
is.
where would Twitter be in terms of users in a year? And that's sort of what they were thinking they were going to try and make money off of. Now they have to do that a year sooner and with more people paying attention and being really aware of it. So it's hopefully they've had some really good ideas.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you think they have a really good idea if they're gonna really do something like that.
Yeah, and they were saying also that they're getting requests all the time for sponsorships and partnerships, and I'm sure they don't want to do those because they're distractions and they're sort of one offs. To make that work, you sort of end up becoming like an agency where you just continually try and get new clients, and that doesn't scale very well, and it doesn't multiply. So I think they're going to be looking for something that every user has the opportunity to make them more money than the last. And so that as they just try and grow more users, it actually ends up making them a lot more money instead of these small, we'll sponsor this concert or this movie, and they're only targeting it at a fraction of their user base.
Right. Yeah, they need a real plan, you know, not, like you said, one-offs.
We'll wait and see what they pull out of their pockets on this one. Now, Sarah, I don't know if you can talk about this one. I don't know if you have any knowledge of it or not, but the Windows Live Social Makeover?
It just launched today.
You're right. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
So we can talk about it. It's out there. It's really awesome. I you know, now that I could really play around with it, I started doing a lot more today. I had access before, but I couldn't, you know, add friends or whatever. It's really like... in a way, it's like this unified like Facebook without all the stupid applications is the way I'm looking at it. And it encompasses a lot of good stuff. Like it's got the news feed of sorts where you can add in web services like Twitter and Flickr and your blog and, you know, things like that and have those posts, and then everybody who you're in your network with will see those items come in on their, you know, what's new with your network feed, like Facebook's news feed, essentially. Except the big difference here is the thing has an RSS feed, so you can subscribe to it in Google Reader, you know, unlike Facebook's news feed, which is like, please come visit our site. So I kind of like that feature. And just everything's so well integrated. You know, SkyDrive powers the photos, and everything's been revamped. Like, you know, there's changes to every piece of it.
Is this public?
Yeah, yeah. It's at home.live.com.
Home.live.com, okay.
Pretty sure. You know, most of the time I've just been going to Hotmail, and then, you know, it just takes me all into my page. So I'm pretty sure that's the official URL. But, you know, like your contacts are your, you know, in your mail are your contacts in your Messenger, your Windows Live Messenger. It's all very well integrated, and you can make these groups, and you can have your groups do, you know, private chats on Messenger. They can have their own homepage with a discussion and with pictures, and you can. It would be great for like a, you know, a team or a club or even like a family, which
right.
is something I'm going to use it for. Is we have a birthday coming up in our family. We're going to make a page as a surprise for somebody with a lot of photos, and we're going to have everybody comment on the photos as a way of signing the virtual card, and it's going to be like a look back on this person's life with pictures from when they're a kid all the way up through, you know, they're turning 60-something now. So, and we're going to play with that and try to use it for that, and I think it's really cool.
I'm looking at it now, and I logged in, and it said, you know, create your homepage, create your other changes, get private messages, set your weather. Are they trying to compete, do you think? I don't know what you can and can't say. Are they trying to compete as a social network or just bring the features in to help expand what they already offer as live services?
You know, I'm not really privy to Microsoft strategy. I just get in on the betas a little sooner than people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, in a way, I think they've seen the success of, you know, things like Facebook and Twitter and all these things, and they're trying to offer their, you know, their version of it. And, you know, when you pick a webmail, that to me is like your starting point for everything that you start to use. And for me, a long time ago, I'd picked Gmail. And so, of course, you know, Google Calendars, you know, where my calendar went, and, you know, Google Chat, and you just kind of get tied into the whole network, and you, that tends to be what you use. Well, Hotmail has a heck of a lot of users out there worldwide. I don't know how they compare numbers-wise to Gmail or what have you, but they're a pretty big user base. And there's more people signing up for, you know, free webmail all the time. And if I was signing up for my first webmail account right now, this would be a compelling offering to look at because
right.
It's so well integrated. And it offers me a lot of what I would expect. It's, you know, your mail, your homepage, your news feed, your third-party services like Twitter and Flickr all come in there. I've got my photos. And it all ties in with each other and also with the desktop software that I can use on my own computer, which I think is a really great part of it too. The Windows Live base, like the photo gallery, you can send photos from your photo gallery right into Windows Live Photos, right into Flickr with like a right click. That's nice. That's a nice feature.
Do they have a people app yet, or is that going to just stay as sort of the connecting glue between the other services?
And do they have what out yet?
Is like the people app, will that have a desktop app as well? Like the photos and Messenger and Movie Maker?
People like the contacts, you mean? Like your contacts?
Well, just sort of like the all that sort of user networking they have going on now as well.
I mean, to my knowledge. I mean, they have Windows Mail where you can manage your contacts and your email on your desktop if you choose.
Right.
And so if you make changes in Windows Live Mail, it's reflected in your Hotmail if you go and visit it on the web. So if you want a more desktop-like experience for your email but still get to your email when you're on the web somewhere else away from your own computer, you know, you don't have to worry about setting up settings or anything. You
right.
just add the account into Windows Live Mail, which is like their replacement for Outlook Express, except much, much better.
It seems like to me as an outsider and not someone, I pay attention to Microsoft a little bit, but that now with what's happening with Windows 7, saying we're going to put Windows Live more at the centerpiece of the way that you connect to the Internet, and we're moving off a lot of the applications and the defaults out of the default bundle, and you'll go to Windows Live to download the latest versions.
Right.
That they're going to be able to be a lot more nimble in terms of what the software is and what the online experience is like, and get more people to really be sort of that fully integrated, any computer you're on, it's everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
And that is pretty cool. I think that's the SkyDrive and seeing how they continue to up the storage on that for free.
Yeah,
really
25 gigs. 25
yeah.
gigs is a lot of free storage.
Yeah.
And when you take, and that is your SkyDrive for your files and for your Windows Live Photos. It encompasses all of that. So when you log into your SkyDrive, your photos are stored in there as well. But you don't have to log into SkyDrive to see your photos. You can just click on the photos. It'll be there from your Windows Live homepage. But in addition to that, your Hotmail, when you sign up for Hotmail, you get 5 gigs right off the bat. And then that grows with you monthly as you reach your maximum. You know, if you're starting to reach that level, they'll increase your storage. And, you know, probably a lot of people don't get to that point, so it's not a huge deal. And then on top of that, if you decide to use Windows Live Mesh to, like, sync your files and do the whole remote desktop thing, there's a whole nother store there with your Windows Live desktop. You've got 10 gigs of free online storage there as well. That's a lot of free online storage.
Yeah.
I was like, you almost don't need to back up your stuff anymore. It's just out there on the cloud.
And
but
also
what,
that they've announced also at the PDC that they've got the versions coming of the Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint online. And yeah. Those will be branded live, correct?
I don't know. I really don't know about that. Okay. I mean, when I saw that for the first time, it was probably about the same time everybody else was seeing it for the first time. And I was so excited. You know, I might have gotten a slight heads up about it, but not, you know, I haven't known about that piece for years or whatever. I mean, that was exciting to me because, you know, Google Docs for me personally, just it works in a pinch, but I have to do like, you know, invoices and spreadsheets like monthly, and I don't do them in Google Docs. You know, I'm more comfortable using Excel for doing what I need to do. It's not that they can't do them. It's just Excel seems like just a better choice. If I already have it, why would I use a slower web app than using like a full-on desktop software? And that's just going to be like that's their fighting ground. That's the difference between what Google is doing or what, you know, Zoho or any of these web apps are doing and what Microsoft is doing. They believe in a hybrid approach to the cloud. They believe software plus services. So you're going to have certain apps like Photoshop, you know, that you're not really ever going to run from the cloud. Well, maybe one day, but not anytime soon. Like, they work better from the desktop. Microsoft Office works better from the desktop. But they're going to offer like a web component to it. So you have the best of both worlds. Instead of having to say, oh, we're just doing this, everything's in the web, everything's in the cloud, there are going to be things that you miss out on with the user experience, with the features you can add, with the responsiveness.
Well, if you think about, too, like what, for me, one of the big things that I really like about Google Docs is being able to do the collaboration, getting away from sending a document file 10 times in an email thread gets crazy. And so with being able to use Microsoft Word on the desktop, the main person who's authoring the document gets full control, all the features they need. And then when they need someone's input, that person doesn't have to have Office installed if they don't need it, and they can do it on the online version.
Right.
Changes will be reflected on your desktop, and you can make it look pretty or make the adjustments that are needed.
Right.
So being able to have that all tied together and have them sort of laying the connecting your friends in Windows Live now seems to make a lot of sense. So I'm excited to play with it, even though I tend to use Google Docs. My word processing needs are very small, and so it works out fine for me. I don't end up doing too many spreadsheets, and if I do, they're using just the basic arithmetic and nothing crazy. So
right.
That's worked fine, but I do know that I still get Excel documents from people and Word documents that have a lot of formatting in them, and I can't do much with them. So it will be nice to be able to have access to that.
Right. I'm excited to play with that Office, you know, Live or Office Web Applications, whatever they're calling it, too, just to see how it works. And there's been a lot of misinformation out there, you know, about it, which is why I blogged about some of your burning questions answered over on Channel 10. You know, people were saying, oh, you're going to have to install Silverlight to use it. And the answer is like, no, you're not. You can install Silverlight, and they say that you'll get this richer experience because you can like do things like zoom all the way in and see like the font like really, you know, up close. But it's optional. You know, there's going to be some features you miss out if you don't install Silverlight, but you're going to be able to use it without Silverlight. And other people are saying, oh, you're probably going to have to use IE. I'm like, no, they said from the very start you're going to be able to use IE, Firefox, or Safari. And I even confirmed with them the other day. I said, you know, does that mean it's going to work on the iPhone? And they're like, yeah, it should work on the iPhone. So, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that it should, in theory, according to what they're telling us, you know, be doing. And I'm really excited to play with it. I think it sounds really innovative.
Yeah, you guys went on a tear.
As good as it sounds.
You guys went on a tear, didn't you? I just let you go. I was like, okay, I'll just listen too. You guys
went
back and forth. No, you're fine. All right,
well, this is why I like working for Microsoft. And, you know, they get a lot of, you know, bunk in the tech blogosphere, but I still think they do cool stuff. And this is, I think, a great example of the cool stuff they're doing.
All right, so I just linked the live stuff out to our show notes because I was really impressed. I logged in the first time to the new interface, and it has a lot of everything. And I was surprised to see pictures and photos and 25 gig of storage in the SkyDrive and profiles and themes and connect to people. It's going to be a mini little community really quick. And yes, in Europe, every time we do a conference over there, they always talk about MSN support and MSN Messenger support. You know, that's a big thing. They use the MSN and Hotmail support stuff over there. Unlike here. Like
everybody's got their own little community, you know. There's a lot of users out there, you know, on Hotmail and Live, Windows Live Mail. And, you know, not everybody's on Gmail. Not everybody has a, you know, mobile me. There's room for everyone.
And the Windows Live team is certainly, it looks like from the outside they've been given a lot more autonomy in terms of what platforms they support and have been said, you know, in the long term, we just want as many people to use our applications and services as possible. And so make it open. And having Ray Ozzie, having all this background with these collaboration tools and him, when he got started building these small little apps that, that help people do online chat and things like that, and then Lotus and things, really his background is in collaboration. And so I think this is probably just the tip of the iceberg for what Microsoft wants to be able to do with Ray Ozzie at the helm in terms of architecting their strategy.
Turning that ship around.
Turn the ship. So what?
Hopefully they can deliver. That was what Scoble said. They were. He was turning the ship around.
Turn the ship around.
Yeah. Compared to Microsoft, to like a big steam tanker, you know, and not that agile. You know, it's not easy to turn a big steam tanker around. I think that's what he used. But.
Well, when you're making billions of dollars every day, it's hard to risk that, so
yeah.
I'm sure they've got a lot of people who are nervous about it, but it looks like it's where it's going. So
yeah.
Billions of dollars.
Okay, new topic.
Well, not only new topic, one of the final big topics. So we've done, basically this has been like announced launch day. We've done, what, three major things of changes or announcements or everything else. So do we have any other big ones out there before I pick a random news topic I wanted to talk about?
Oh, you have one picked out?
Well, I have one picked out, unless you have a new topic or new site or new something else you guys want to cover first. Anything?
Just briefly, the Facebook Connect stuff is starting to filter out a little bit more. They sort of opened that up a couple weeks ago, and it's just sort of now taken the developers the time to integrate it. But I played with it a little bit today on some of the blogs that have integrated as for comments. And Facebook did a pretty good job with the user experience of that, I think, that if you're already logged in to Facebook on your browser, it automatically knows that, and it says, do you want to link up this activity to your news stream, and it will send it to Facebook. And so all the activity that you're going on the web, the publishers get a really good advantage of having easier logins, and Facebook gets the advantage of having a lot more activity coming into Facebook. And so what does that mean? It really means what happens to someone like an OpenID or some of these other distributed identity systems when hundreds of millions of people have a Facebook account, hundred million or so have a Facebook account. That's a very big number for online activity. And so being able to use that as your main login, I think there'll be a lot more sites that use that and allow you to tap into that power of being able to have all your friends see what you're doing, and they're your Facebook friends, not necessarily your Twitter friends.
Right.
Can I tell you where Facebook goofed up? On August 26th, someone privately registered the domain facebookconnect.com, and it wasn't Facebook.
Yikes.
Whoops.
good marketing right there. Top quality. Okay. They registered it. They did it private registration too. FacebookConnect.com, private registration, all the way down through 1&1 private registration. So Facebook didn't jump on the bandwagon quite quick enough for that one right there at all.
What's on the page if you go to it right now? Is it?
It says this has been newly registered for one of our 1&1 hosting customers.
Oh. Hmm.
I bet they're going to try and make them an offer.
Yep.
They would be
so I don't know how many people outside of the, you know, little tech bubble we live in are actually going to know that it's called Facebook Connect. I think your everyday computer user who's like on Facebook, they're going to go to some site at some point. They're going to be like, oh, I want to create an account. oh, look, I can just log in with my Facebook. They're not going to necessarily think, oh, that's called Facebook Connect, and it's this new authentication thing.
Let me go learn about that. Let me type in FacebookConnect.com. Oh, that's all the information I need. Okay, I feel safe.
Yeah. You'd be surprised at the limited scope that some people still live in when it comes to this technology stuff. I mean, they use all these things, but they don't really think about how they work or what they're called or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Well, I just linked the Facebook Connect Developers Wiki up for the show notes for anybody that really needs to get an understanding what the heck they're doing and how it connects and the identity and privacy and everything else. So we've got the link out there for that one. But that's probably the other big the big news. And, oh, wait, I see Jeff is a geek in here, but he's not on the phone yet. He's in the chat room.
Ooh, bring him in.
I would if he'd dial into the phone. Right now he's just on the computer, so Jeff has to dial in first. Oh, and he says I'll be dialing in. Everybody's
okay,
dialing
good.
So, wait, I had one, and this is something you actually wrote, Sarah. I didn't even, when I first saw it, because it's something that I saw someone doing the other day at the Costco warehouse when I was buying a new TV for myself for Christmas. They were scanning barcodes.
Yay.
And, yeah, I love the idea, but no one said anything to them, but you wrote an article, and
today,
sure enough,
right?
Was that today?
Was it today?
Well, published this morning. I never know when you write it, so it was published this morning.
Yeah, I wrote it this morning. they all kind of blur together, so I'm like, when did I write that? Today, right.
That people are, you know, the scanning isn't top quality yet for everything, but then there's also stores that are trying to stop people from comparing prices live, which I can do without reading the barcode. I can actually send an SMS with a product identifier number to a couple services, and they'll send me back all the prices.
Oh, yeah. Did you say that in the comment? Somebody said that in the comment.
No, I've done that many times before.
Yeah.
It's called Shop Smart or Shop. I've got it somewhere. I'll try to find the link. I've got it in my email when I subscribed, and it'll let you SMS a product ID number up, and it'll give you back pricing for that product.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, put that in the show notes. That would be a good thing to share.
But now you've got the one about the you know, the barcode reading and stores saying, no, you can't do it here, which whether it's true or not doesn't matter, but do you think the technology's there to work for everybody's phone, or do you think that this is going to be you have to get a new phone to use the technology, or what's the deal?
Well, you know, it works on iPhone. It works on Android. There's apps for it. It works on there are apps for other smartphones. There are apps for BlackBerry. They're just not maybe as well-known as the ones that are for iPhone and Android, because those are the two big, you know, app store type smartphones. And then, like you said, you've got the SMS thing. But, you know, as Lewis Gray has been sharing in the Google Reader, that iPhone market share is creeping up there, and it's starting to be, you know, a pretty popular phone, at least here in the U.S. And, you know, it's going to get to the point where I think it's going to be kind of common, especially as everybody's trying to pinch pennies right now, to look for the best price. And just to be clear, in the article I did say that Target and a Target employee had stopped somebody from scanning, but it seemed to be an isolated incident, so it was just anecdotal, you know. I mean, it's just an anecdotal story. It wasn't like a company policy. I checked with them. But I think there is kind of a lack of information out there, just in general, about this technology, because it is so new for it to be used in this manner. There hasn't been an iPhone commercial yet showing this.
Right.
We get the iPhone or the iPhone commercial that's like, have you ever been out shopping and you want to get a better price? And then they show, you know, the iPhone scanning something. Then maybe people will get it.
Just scan your iPhone. And you bring that up, and today, just a side note, just real quick, and I'll try to find it. There's a new, besides Spring, there's another new application for the iPhone and the iPod Touch that'll let you do VoIP stuff over the new iPod Touch with the headset, because it has the actual headset ability and microphone ability and the second gen of the Touch. You can actually load VoIP client, be on the Wi-Fi at home, and use your Touch as a VoIP phone.
Dang it, I don't have second gen.
Right, me too. I've got a
gen.
And you know the difference. Here's how you tell the difference. The first gen iPod, so anyone, our listeners, are going to go buy an iPod Touch, they don't get screwed. The first gen, on the back of it, has the antenna at the top, the little black piece of plastic that covers the antenna on the iPod Touch. Mm-hmm. It's actually a square corner on it. On the second gen, the entire antenna black piece is an oval. So,
and the second gen, the corners are smooth.
Yeah, but some people can't tell that much difference. But the back is, it's plain as day. If you flip it over, you'll be able to see the difference between the antenna where it sits in the upper corner of the back of the thing.
Cool.
So, well, the other thing about the scanning and the barcodes, sort of coincidentally, today Amazon, or was it last night, Amazon releasing their iPhone app. And they're obviously someone who has a very high interest in allowing people to purchase things on the go and being able to maybe utilize the camera phone in the iPhone or other devices in the future to be able to say, hey, you could buy it on Amazon and you're an Amazon Prime member, buy it right now and it'll be your house tomorrow for $4 more. So I think that I know I personally, when I'm going around stores now, I go to Best Buy and Target and things like that just to actually pick up the products and play with it and maybe hear what it sounds like. But I go home and order it on Amazon or Newegg. And I think that just being able to have those devices in your pocket to do it and see what the price is will only sort of accelerate that for most people.
All right. So someone's got their computer on. Is that you, Jeff, that's listening both on the phone and on the computer?
Yes.
Okay, stop doing that.
All right.
Jeff! All right,
so Jeff is a geek is here.
Hello.
There you go. Now you're NetEquin. Nothing. Give us your two-minute rundown, man. We've been on for about an hour, and we're getting ready to finish up. So where were you, the KC meeting tonight for the social networking stuff?
Yes, yes. We're planning our big event. We're going to start doing monthly meetups and having speakers and all that good stuff. So we're just getting that all planned out for, I guess I'm going to be on the first panel the first month. So we're hoping to have it streaming live so everyone can check that out, and I'll definitely have all the information on my Twitter and all that good stuff out there.
I gave you some junk about that, yeah, because since I'm only a few-hour drive, you know, let us know.
Good.
Just say
you should come hang out.
We'll come hang out, man. Or so what, any big news or announcements for you? Apparently this is announcement day, so do you have anything announcing today, Jeff?
I can't think of anything.
All right, okay. Great.
Did we already talk about Caleb's new little project?
Yes, at the very beginning we did.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's, I mean, but, you know, Calo is live and he's already making money, which really bothers all of us.
There's a business model.
What, six days later and you're already making money? That's a business model right there. So we covered Calo, we covered Wayne Sutton TV, we covered Tweet Shops, we covered Microsoft Live, we went through a whole slew of stuff today. And Pounce closing, covered that.
Is that all the news?
Actually, we have a question from one. Let's let one of our chat room people actually ask a question. Let me
Here
and unmute. All right. I think Virgin Inc., you're on.
Okay. Wait, one second.
There he goes. Oh, he's in there.
Yeah, okay. Cool, I am in. All right, awesome.
You're duplicating. There you go.
All right, yeah. Hey, guys, I'm Virgin Inc., and it's pronounced Future. A lot of people ask me about that. Yeah. I took the F off and put a V. I just wanted to just jump in real quick, just introduce myself. I didn't really want to touch any topics. You guys already pretty much summed everything I was going to say. So, I mean, there isn't much else to say, just to introduce myself.
Well, tell us, are you on Twitter? What's your Twitter ID? What's the deal?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. It's the same exact name that you see there. Actually, I follow all of you guys except Sarah, I think. I don't have her.
Sarah in Tampa.
But,
I'm Sarah in Tampa. Some people confuse it. They think I'm Sarah Perez, but
I was just about to say, I thought that's who you were, but okay.
She is that person, but not on Twitter.
I should probably go get Sarah Perez's Twitter if she has one and just be like, can you just direct people my way?
Hey, Sarah, she does, and she has one follower.
Oh, she does?
Oh, my God. You've got to ask her for that.
Man. I don't know how I'll ever get that. Maybe I made it at some point. You know what? I might have made it. I'll better check my email.
Wait a minute. The person following her, unless you know Benjamin Schuber, I don't think this is you.
Oh, darn it. Oh, well.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She has one follower, and she's following one person and has never posted a tweet ever.
Just give
that's
it up.
Interesting.
Yet Sarah in Tampa has 2,427 followers with 1,100.
Oh, wait, I just reached 100 followers. Yeah.
With 1,177 people you're following and over 3,600 tweets.
Is that a lot?
Yeah.
That's not a lot.
I went over 7,000 tweets recently.
Oh,
thanks.
Crap.
I'm like, I'm not tweeting that much, apparently.
Caleb, thank you.
I really
for becoming
don't. Like, I'm not, like,
followers.
Constantly. Huh?
Oh. I was just saying thank you for Caleb to becoming my 100th follower. Congratulations.
Oh, cool.
There you go.
Nice round number there.
I know.
So tell us, have you ever used any barcode scanning applications?
Actually, no, I haven't. And I'm actually just new to the entire blogosphere, entire thing. I just started blogging in September. I started my Twitter about a month ago. And so I'm just new to pretty much everything.
Well, cool.
How the heck did you find us?
You're already hanging out with the right people.
I know, right? No, actually, it's because I started with Wayne Sutton, and I've been following him since I joined Twitter. And then it kind of just moved around. I had a note, so I've been following you for about 2 or 3 weeks. Jeff is a geek.
Okay.
I've been following forever. Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Now, wait a minute. I got to look at this, because I think we just beat Corvita out, because if I'm looking at his page right on Twitter, future CEO of software company in Ohio, but yet only the age of 16.
Yep. And
yeah.
In college, by the way.
And in college.
Wow.
Disconnect them. Hang up before we all lose our jobs.
I just feel like an underachiever right now.
I don't feel that bad. No,
you know,
actually,
I just saw this girl who's blogging, and she's 12 years old, and it's an amazing blog, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. How
it makes you feel weird.
Yeah.
Actually, the funny thing is I don't blog all that often, yet I have 150-something readers, which is weird.
What do you blog about?
At first I was trying to start it on just blogging about my life. It was kind of complicated. I mean, I'm 16, I'm in college. And
who has a PC on? Somebody has a PC still listening to you. You guys are killing me with echo. Who is that?
Hold on one sec. That's me. Hold on. Okay, is that better?
Oh, my gosh, much better. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's my bad. But anyway, I'm 16, in college, started trying to get a new internet startup together. I mean, I'm doing a lot. So, I mean, you wouldn't imagine how much stuff a person does at this young of age.
Wow. Well,
I can imagine. I can imagine, man. We've got
kids
that, yeah, definitely. And you've broken 100 followers.
Maybe
oh, yeah,
kids
so,
are older
yeah.
now than they're, you know, like, are kids just, like, more mature than they were when I was 16?
I wouldn't go that far. well, I mean, yes and no, because you have people like me who are really trying to get things together and are trying to do something, you know, and looking towards the future. And then you have other kids that just are, like, stuck on 10.
Yep, there you are. You're on Bright Kite, too. He's on Bright Kite.
I just joined Bright Kite today.
Do you have an iPhone?
No, I don't have the iPhone. I actually have I cannot pronounce it, the XV6800, the pocket PC from Verizon. But I'm about to get the BlackBerry Storm in about like 3 weeks. So, woo!
Cool. You know, a lot of people at my husband works at a bank. A lot of people want the BlackBerry Storm there. I said, well, you better read that New York Times review. They didn't seem to like it too much.
Yeah.
See, a friend of mine has it, and I've gone through it, and I loved it.
You did? You played around
with
it?
Well,
yeah, some people at the bank got it, and they're really enjoying it. And then other people are planning to drop their BlackBerries in their coffee or something so they can upgrade.
Oh, gosh.
But
I like it because I got the iPod Touch for a second and then got rid of it because I don't like the touch screen isn't accurate to me. I don't like having to fish around with my finger trying to get it to work, and the BlackBerry Storm works perfectly.
So the keyboard on it, it feels good with the...
Oh, it feels really good. And the whole clicking thing, they make it... I mean, it's not so much the fact that it clicks. That clicking makes it more accurate because you feel like you've actually pushed where you were looking to push. So
that tactile sensation that you've pressed the right key.
Right. It just feels cohesive.
Hmm. That's interesting. I'd love to play with one myself just for fun.
Well, cool, guys. I mean, we've broken our hour, so we've got to stop soon. So I think we're going to have to be done.
Go ahead.
No, it's not your fault.
That's my fault. I kept them talking.
We'll just be back sooner than we were last time. We can't go a month without a... Okay.
What was that?
It was me out of town. The holiday hit at a bad week. Everyone had personal stuff going on. We're looking at the time of day we record. It's, you know, it hit a bad time when we scheduled it out. But we're good. If we do this again in 2 weeks, we'll be right before Christmas. We'll be right after New Year's. It'll be right on schedule. So
cool.
Or we can go weekly. I don't know. Let's stick to it. So let's see. We have at Jeff is a Geek on Twitter and jeffisageek.net. We have Caleb's everywhere, so we're really mad at him because we have Tulu and Kahlo and everything else. And Caleb Elson on Twitter. Sarah in Tampa, not Sarah Perez, on Twitter. Maybe she can send her $3. She doesn't have any followers. Just send her $3. tell her.
You know, I got enough followers. I'm good.
Well, no, but you want the name. You want the name, Sarah Perez. So Sarah in Tampa.
They can find me.
what did I miss? Wayne Sutton launched his site at Wayne Sutton on Twitter and everywhere else, waynesutton.tv. Lewis, well, who needs Lewis the Gray has everybody in the world already. We don't need to worry about him. Missing Corvita. We don't know where she is. If she hears this tomorrow, call one of us and tell us you're alive. But we also have two new ones, right? We have, is it Virgin Inc. Butcher?
Yep, there you go.
Virgin Inc. Butcher, 16-year-old CEO possible of the future. We'll all work for him in about 5 years. If you have a good 401k, we'll work for you.
Okay, I'll try that.
All right, guys, everybody say goodnight, and we are out of here for another episode of the Social Geeks.
Good night.
Bye.